your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We're talking about the cross this morning as we think about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. You know, I can't help but think about the cross when I think about baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when I think about the cross, I think about his death and his blood. The blood we sing about a while ago shall never lose its power. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, in verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he said in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you take it in remembrance of me." And for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So what I'm talking about this morning is the cross and the importance of the cross of Calvary. For as we think about the baptism and we think about the cup, the Lord's Supper, you see, it's impossible to overestimate the plan of the death of Jesus Christ in the Christian faith. It's not the end of his earthly life. It was only the beginning of his earthly life or his heavenly life. You see, the cross, it's not a part of Christianity, but it's the heart of Christianity, the very heart of the gospel, Jesus. When I think about Jesus, I think about the great teacher that he was, and the parables, how easy they are to understand. But he did not come primarily as a teacher. I think about Jesus Christ, and I think about as he went his way healing people. But he did not primarily come to heal people. When I think about Jesus Christ, I think about what he said. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He came as a servant. He gave his life, the Bible says, for many. And when we think about the Lord's table here this morning, we remember the cross of Calvary and the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And they're important to us. The Word of God. Friends, Jesus saw the cross as a necessity in life. Oh, how we sometimes think about the cross and we think, oh, I wish that we didn't have to go to the cross. But Jesus says, it's a must. It's a must. He said, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer. I must suffer. Paul says, I am resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a must in the Christian life. The Bible tells us that salvation comes by the way of the cross. Jesus says, there's no other way but by me. I am going to the cross. It's a must, and you must come by the way of the cross. You see, we are saved. I don't know about you, but I was saved by acknowledging Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge my sins have separated me from God. There's no other way that I can have redemption. There's no other way that I can have forgiveness but by Jesus Christ. He says you're justified by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So the cross is the answer for all that we need this morning. First of all, the Bible teaches us that in Acts, it is the way of our forgiveness of our sin. The fact that sin, men of Israel, Peter said, you took Jesus Christ, you bound his hands, you crucified him upon the cross, you killed Jesus, he says. Men of Israel, most there had literally nothing to do with his death, but like you and I, we are guilty, aren't we? It's my sins that nailed him to the cross, my sins that he came for and died. If there was no one else, Christ died for me. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you this morning that he gave his life. It was my sin that nailed him to the tree. Sins there. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Son of God. I joined the mockery. You see, it was my sins. And even though I personally might not have been there at the cross that day, I was there in the hearts of the people passing by, mocking Christ, spitting on him, hollering, come down if you be the Son of God. We see our sins there at the cross. We also see, I said a while ago, the forgiveness of sins there. Jesus, as he was dying upon the cross. You know, it's interesting if you study the words that Jesus said while he was on the cross, but the words that I love most is, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus offers me forgiveness. He offers you forgiveness this morning. If you've never come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he offers you forgiveness. I will never forget 1975 when I came to Jesus Christ. I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. I was in my 20s then. I thought I had life made. I thought I could do things on my own. But that morning that Christ spoke to my heart, I knelt before the cross and I said, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. It's my sin. And I saw it as my sin that nailed him to the cross. And I believed in my heart that God loved me so much that he died for me on that cross. And I believed his words when he says, forgive them, Father, that they know not what they do. And I asked him for forgiveness. And the moment I asked him to come into my life, he came into my heart. He cleansed me. And not only did he cleanse me, the Bible says he changed me. And folks, listen, I'm still changed. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. At the very height of my sin, I found God's love in Christ Jesus. You see, the cross destroys all our pride. The cross destroys all our despair. All there is now is hope. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And when I think of the cross, when I think of the Lord's Supper, he says, I want you to take this in remembrance for what I have done for you. You know what the cross says? It says, you did this to me, but I did this for you. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. You see, the cross, the importance of it, it is the cross. It's the answer for my sin, and it's the answer for the forgiveness. It's also for our sanctification. In Titus 2:14, Jesus gave himself, the Bible says, to redeem us from our wickedness and to purify for himself a people. Listen to this. For, you know, the modern day people, our society, don't like this scripture. But Jesus says, to redeem them from wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, enthusiastic to do good. And the great wickedness of our people today, the great wickedness of our churches today, is to practice a cheap grace. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Repentance is not only a change of mind about who you are and who Christ is. Repentance produces a change in your life. You see, when you're saved, you don't want to keep sinning. Oh, I know you do, but you don't want to. Somebody says, do you still want to sin? I don't want to. I do every once in a while. I make mistakes. I sin. I lose my temper sometimes. You can ask my wife. I don't mind. I'm not perfect, but neither are you. But let me tell you something. I am forgiven. God says, I'm forgiven. But repentance is a change of mind about the way we're living. And folks, when we come to Christ, we want to change our lifestyle. This old get saved and still live any way you want to won't do it. It won't cut the mustard, as some people say. Jesus died to make us pure. Jesus died so that we can live a holy life, a good life, as well as to pay for our sin. And when we truly turn our hearts to Jesus Christ, until we're willing to turn from our sin, we haven't really repented, you see. But when we truly give our hearts to Jesus, we want to repent. We want to turn our life around. We want to start living our life. I had a preacher friend to tell me, well, Booney, you're just too tough on people. I believe that two people can live together and still be all right. I said, if you want to live in sin, you can. You see, when you're saved, you want to be right with God. And what the Bible says is sin back then is still sin now. Now, that's hard on some people because they want to just not get married but just live together. It's wrong. It's sin. God calls it sin, and it always will be sin. It's adultery. God says it should be in the bonds of marriage. Now, folks, our society don't like to hear that, but we have to preach that because that's what the Bible says. It's not what I say. I'm not hard on people. It's what God's Word says. And you know why he puts it in there? For our good. It's for us to live a holy and pure life. And we're cleansed by repentance and the change in our life. You see, when I think about the cross, I think about our sin. I think about our sanctification. And also, I think about our sorrows. Our world is full of trouble, isn't it? Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand. Oh, listen, you look at the television and you see troubles, you see trials. I was just turned on the television the other night, and I saw where a bus, and man, I pray for those families. They're going through, they lost their children, four girls on a softball team, a semi hit it, and it killed four of them, and there's some more in the hospital. And I thought, oh, you know, those parents are having to deal with the loss of a young person in their family. And, you know, that seems to be a troubled spot in our life. Parents want to outlive their children. But, you know, that's not always the case. And our world is full of tragedy. Our world is full of heartaches. Our world is full of sorrow. We're innocent, suffer, as well as the evil. But yet so many times we look at life and we see the evil prospering and the innocent suffering. And some people look at this and say, oh, doesn't God still love us? Yes, He loves us. The answer is found in Scripture. And sorrow is in the world because of sin. Sin causes suffering. Another answer is that suffering makes us stronger in our life. Suffering is a part of life, and it produces patience and endurance, the Bible says, and it proves the reality of our faith, it talks about in James. And you know what? When troubles come our way, and yes, they come our way, they come to my life, they come to your life, they come to innocent people's lives. But you know what? When suffering comes our way, as a Christian, as the importance of the cross, my hope is in heaven. My hope is in heaven. Paul suffered terribly in his life. Yet he said these, the sufferings of this life, he said, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed. Oh, and then he said those great words in Timothy, where he was fixing to go out and be beheaded. And he says, Timothy, I want you to know I am ready. I'm ready. My departure is at hand. I'm fixing to go out of this world. He says, but you know what? I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith in God. His word is true. And henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness which He will give me when I get home. Oh, listen, folks, we're not home yet. We're on our way. The Bible says we're strangers and sojourners in this world. And yes, this world has a lot of problems and a lot of sufferings. But the Bible says in Isaiah, He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Philippians 2:8 says, He was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Our Lord was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was lashed with a cat of nine tails. And then He was nailed to the cross for our sins. Friends, when I know that Jesus Christ suffered with us in our afflictions, I can love, and I can respect, and I can trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have no answer for the baby's death, or I have no answer for that wife and husband that lose their child, but I know one thing. I have a God, I have a Savior that's been through what we have been through, and He offers up His heart and He offers up His hands, and He says, I will mend the brokenhearted. Folks, I believe that with all my heart, that Jesus Christ knows what we're going through. His hands have been pierced and His heart has been broken. And when I think about the cross and I remember what we're fixing to partake of, I remember His precious blood that was shed for me. And there's another thing I want you to know. This is not the end. Death is only the beginning. Praise God, I'm so glad that It didn't stop with the crucifixion upon the cross and the burial in a grave. The Bible says on the third day, there was an earthquake, and the stone was rolled away, and when the ladies went to the tomb, he was gone. He had gone from the grave. Folks, we can know one thing. He came back from the grave. He overcame death, and he fellowshiped, the Bible says, with his disciples. And the cross speaks not only of death, but it speaks of everlasting life. And when I remember the Lord's Supper, when I take of the Lord's Supper, not only do I remember the cross and the crucifixion, I love this last verse. He says, "For as oft as you do this, remember me and proclaim the Lord's death." What? Till he comes. He is coming. He's coming. Jesus said the bread and the wine symbolizes this. He told his disciples, "The next time you drink this will be in my kingdom." Man, the cross today. The cross today. It's important, folks. It's important because it's the answer to your sins. It's the answer for our sanctification. That means we're being set apart for Christ. It's important for our sorrows. And it's important for our faith to trust in Jesus till he comes. The Bible says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Boy, that's just the glistening of the eye. Not even a blink. Just a glisten. Oh, that's fast. He said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God's going to look over to son and say, "Son, go get my children." The trumpet shall sound. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive. I'm not afraid of death. It's going to come if I live long enough. But you know what? I hope I'm alive when he comes. When he comes back. Oh, I want to be caught up just out of the where I'm at now. Someone told me the other day about a preacher that was preaching. He just got through with his sermon. Fell over dead. I thought, what a way to go. What a way to go. Man, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? If the sound of the trumpet happens in the next twinkling of an eye, split second, would you be ready? You're sitting there and you're thinking, "Well, I don't know. Man, if I didn't know, I'd be down here in a minute making sure." Are you saved? Shouldn't be any doubt there. You should know. You should have a peace about it that passes all understanding. Brother Bill read about it a while ago. God gives us a peace. He said, "My peace I leave with you." He went to the cross with the peace of God in his heart. Do you know? If not, I'm going to ask you to come. And simply by coming, you're saying, "Lord, I realize this morning I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I put my faith in you that you died for me. Not only did you die, you rose again and you're coming back for me. And I want to give my heart to you. I want to change my life, and I'm going to be a new creature in Christ. I'm going to start living for you that I might be pure." Boy, I tell you what, that'd be the best day of your life. Best day of your life. Maybe you're here this morning. You've already been saved. But there's something in your life that's not right. He tells us, to come to the altar and get it right before you take of the Lord's Supper. If you got aught against a brother, go to that brother and say, hey, let's go down and pray. I've had a hard feeling against you. I want to get it right. Maybe you're here this morning, you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God's led you, and you want to join. I'd be glad to share with you how you can join our church. Just come. I'm going to give you that opportunity before we have the Lord's Supper this morning. So if you need to come, when we begin to sing, I want you to step out right then and come on, because we're not going to tarry, okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that quickens to our heart the words of God. And Lord, this morning, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision for you, may they come right now. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.